It's a great, if unwitting, setup that these candles are almost out. And I'll tell you why. A few years ago, I was sitting with an older rabbi, whom some of you know, a renowned rabbi, spent most of his career in the valley at Valley Beth Shalom, Rabbi Harold Schulweis. And he had, at the time, just gotten out of the hospital. And I've spent an unfortunate amount of time in the hospital myself, and so we were comparing notes. It was like two old men. We should have been sitting by a pool in Miami eating mahjong tiles. I swear, I had this operation, you had that operation. But he told me the following story. He was in his room, and a Buddhist priest came in and spent some time visiting him, and it was Shabbat. And another rabbi a moment before had come in and lit the Shabbat candles. And the priest talked to him for a while, and as he was about to leave, he said to him, "Why don't I put out the candles so you can go to sleep?" So Rabbi Schulweis said, "No, actually, when we light Shabbat candles, we never put them out. They have to go out by themselves. We don't believe in extinguishing light." To which the priest said, "That's exactly what we do believe in. Nirvana means to extinguish." And Rabbi Schulweis said to me, "And there I saw a profound difference in the Jewish tradition from a tradition of Buddhism or quiescence, which tries to reach a state of not feelingness. Because it's painful to feel." And that was the Buddha's great discovery, of course, about life, is as long as you want, you'll hurt. So if you want to stop hurting, stop wanting. And all of Buddhism is a training in letting go of desire, because desire will kill you. Now think about our tradition. We take our name from Jacob, who wrestled with the angel. And the angel blesses him with the name Yisrael, one who struggles with God, and you only struggle if you want something. Ivrim, the word for Hebrew, means people who pass over because they're going somewhere. But every time you're going somewhere, it's because you have a goal, even if you can never get there. And if you read the Bible, there was a time when we had a place where we didn't need anything or want anything. It was called Eden, and we're there for one chapter. That's it. And God says to human beings, all you have to do, you can do anything you want. All you have to do to stay in Eden is don't eat from that tree over there. Not 5 minutes go by. Now, I'm not saying that Adam and Eve were Jewish, but they sure act like Jews. Because right away, they say, "That's the fruit I want," and they're out. And that idea, the idea that, in fact, you shouldn't be at peace and you shouldn't be satisfied, seems counterintuitive, because we always say, the rabbis say it, Ezehu Ashir, who is rich, Hasameach Bechelko, somebody who's satisfied with what they have. But notice that it says you should be satisfied with what you have. You're not supposed to be satisfied with what the other person doesn't have. Your dissatisfaction is too often turned on yourself. I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have the other thing. But in fact, it should be turned on others. In fact, as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter beautifully said, he said, too many people worry about their own body and other people's souls. They'd be much better off worrying about their own souls and other people's bodies. If someone is hungry, you shouldn't be satisfied. If someone is wanting or poor or alone or bereaved or bereft, you're not supposed to be okay. That's what it means to struggle. Is that other people's pain makes you miserable. Rabbi Shimon, the president, Shimon Peres of Israel, who I told you, right, who you'll see has a rabbinic streak in him, who I told you earlier, if you were here at the beginning, I got all these pictures about snow falling in Jerusalem, and the best one was the 89-year-old Shimon Peres building a snowman. Great picture. But when I went to see him with a group of rabbis a couple of years ago, we were sitting in his office, he said to us something that he loves to repeat all the time to every visiting group. He said, the greatest contribution of the Jewish people to the world was the invention of dissatisfaction. And believe me, I don't know if it's true that we invented it. We specialize in it. I don't know if we invented it. But his point was that you're supposed to be striving and seeking and struggling and not satisfied. One of the reasons, I believe, that the Jewish people acquitted itself admirably and nobly and well in the civil rights movement was because they had this tradition of being dissatisfied. They said, no, it's not good enough. It's not okay. We know what it is. Ki geirim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So you can't give up, and you can't give in, and you can't stop, and the candle burns for as long as it burns. At the end of his life, the artist Renoir suffered from terrible arthritis. It was painful for him to hold the brush. And when his great disciple Matisse asked him why he still paints, he said, because the pain lasts for a minute, but the beauty endures forever. It's hard to do something that's hard, but then it's over and it's done. So we're all about the struggle. Edna St. Vincent Millay, not a Jewish poet. She's got a saint in her name. But she wrote, my candle burns at both ends. It will not last the night. But ah, my foes and oh, my friends, it gives a lovely light. That idea that you keep it burning for as long as you can, that's why we're here. It takes more effort. It takes more time. It takes more openness. It takes more willingness to be hurt, to be bruised, to fail. And that's all okay. It's just not okay to give up. Because for all of us, the candle is going to go out sooner or later by itself. That's the nature of life. But while you're here, while it still burns, don't let the darkness win. Keep it burning bright. Shabbat Shalom.